Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Jackson police are investigating a 4th of July shooting that left two people injured. Officers responded just before 9 p.m. Saturday to the 100 block of Chittock Avenue after reports of gunfire. Investigators say a fire broke out before someone opened fire. Two victims were taken to the Henry Ford Jackson Hospital. One was treated and released while the other remains hospitalized in stable condition. No arrests have been made and police continue to investigate the circumstances surrounding the shooting. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact the Jackson Police Department or Crime Stoppers. Jackson County Sheriff's Department also assisted at the scene. Health officials are searching for the source of a stomach parasite that's been found in nearly 700 Michigan residents.
Symptoms show up about a week after exposure, and it's not pretty. Cyclosporiasis is an illness related to fresh produce. The illness itself, which includes explosive diarrhea, can last a few days or even more than a month. So now they're tracking, interviewing, and researching hundreds of different cases.
This type of investigation, we need a strong public health system to do this.
Which is why Dr. Natasha Bakhtasarian, chief medical executive for the state of Michigan, said they're putting a lot of resources into finding the origin of the outbreak.
So I just want to remind people that this is what public health does, and this is why it's so important to fund public health and to make sure that we're able to follow the science and the data.
And Michigan's not alone. We're one of multiple states racing to find the source to prevent further exposure to this foodborne illness. Brian Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Big changes are coming to Michigan's unemployment system this month, including a new law to help survivors of domestic violence.
Beginning July 19th, benefit recipients must report at least three work search activities each week, up from the current requirement of one. Other updates taking effect July 17th include new financial protections for domestic violence survivors, meaning those who leave their jobs to escape abuse can now qualify for unemployment benefits. And a companion law will soon expand maximum coverage from 20 to 26 weeks, with a maximum weekly payout scheduled to jump to $614 on January 1st. Details are online at michigan.gov/UIA. Greg Bowman
for the Michigan News Network.
Three deaths are believed to be linked to power outages this past weekend, and sadly, they all involve kids. Michigan News Network's Chris Villar.
Two children ages 8 and 12 were found lying inside a garage at a home on Executive Drive in Sumter Township on Saturday morning. This just hours after storms rolled through the area and knocked out power to hundreds of thousands of homes. A gas-powered generator was inside the garage, and despite attempts to save the kids, they died. In Melvindale, relatives say 16-year-old Wael Hamza Haidara died Saturday as a generator was found running in the home's basement. Police continue to investigate the death, but carbon monoxide poisoning is believed to be the cause. Utility executives and police continue to remind people who don't have power to never run a generator inside a home, garage, basement, or shed, and instead keep it outside and away from any windows. Homeowners should also have working carbon monoxide detectors. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
Some construction work is coming to I-94 in Jackson County. Luke Moorhead has more on some lane and ramp closures.
The Michigan Department of Transportation says they will begin bridge repairs and epoxy overlay on I-94 between Elm Street and Airport Road and westbound I-94 exit 139 to Cooper Street on Tuesday in Jackson. MDOT says eastbound I-94 will have two lanes closed from Airport Road to North Elm Avenue, along with intermittent shoulder closures beginning 6 p.m. on Tuesday until 6 p.m. on Friday, August 7th. The Cooper Street on-ramp to I-94 will be closed from 7 a.m. on July 7th until 6 p.m. on July 17th. Drivers are advised to expect delays. MDOT says closing lanes will ensure the safety of workers and motorists and that the improvements will help extend the life of the bridge and ensure it remains safe for travel. Based on economic modeling from the state of Michigan, this $1.1 million investment is expected to directly and indirectly support 10 jobs. I'm Luke Moorhead reporting with WKHM.
Drivers in Jackson County should expect delays Sunday morning due to utility work on US 127 at the I-94 interchange north of Jackson. The Michigan Department of Transportation has issued a permit to T-Mobile for work that will require intermittent lane closures in both directions from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Sunday, July 12th. The Michigan State Police will provide traffic control during the operation. Motorists are urged to use caution, allow extra travel time, and be prepared for brief delays while crews complete the work. Jackson County Animal Shelter has announced that they are once again participating in the Bissell Pet Foundation's Empty the Shelters Adoption event. Started yesterday and will continue through July 26th. Adoption fees for all medium and large adult dogs, cats, and kittens will just be $50. Whether you're looking for a walking partner, a couch buddy, or a playful kitten to keep you entertained, there could be the perfect pet for you waiting at the animal shelter. Jackson County Animal Shelter will be one of 306 organizations taking part in this month's nationwide program that includes 37 states. As the nation's largest funded adoption event, Empty the Shelters helps homeless pets find families by making adoption affordable for prospective pet owners. Bissell does this by supporting participating organizations with reimbursements for each pet adopted. Other shelters and surrounding counties that are participating in the program include Ingham County Animal Control and the Greater Hillsdale Humane Society. Jackson College is offering a free series of advanced manufacturing workshops this summer. Free CNC Fridays begin July 10th. That's this Friday, and run for five consecutive Fridays through August 7th from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Steam Factory on the college's central campus. Participants will receive hands-on training in computer-aided design, manufacturing software, and CNC machining while learning the complete process from design to finished product. The workshops are geared toward K through 12 and career and technical education teachers, but are open to anyone interested. The program is funded through a National Science Foundation grant, so there is no cost to attend. Registration is available through Jackson College. Michigan State University is keeping its top leader after a stunning reversal in East Lansing. Kevin Guskowitz has canceled his planned move to Clemson University and will remain in his role as MSU president. Guskowitz had previously signaled his resignation after publicly criticizing a toxic culture and interference from certain university trustees. While the presidency remains stable, the athletic department is still headed toward a major transition. Reports indicate that Michigan State is moving on from athletic director Jay Batt, who recently accepted the same position at the University of Kentucky. An Ann Arbor man busted for going 124 miles per hour in Washtenaw County. That's according to Michigan State Police, who say the 18-year-old was caught driving that fast on his Suzuki motorcycle over the weekend. Troopers say that he was stopped on westbound I-94 near Zeeb Road, then cited for speeding and not displaying his license plate properly. Meanwhile, police say traveling at these speeds puts not only the rider at risk, but every other person sharing the roadway, and that no destination is worth risking your life or someone else's. In a major ruling for local courts, the state Supreme Court says Michigan trial judges can no longer issue blanket bans on recreational marijuana use for people on probation solely based on federal law. Justices ruled unanimously that the state's 2018 voter-approved pot law shields complaint adults from penalties, including probation revocations, overriding conflicting parts of the state's Probation Act. The decision stems from an appeal by an Oakland County woman who faced jail time after testing positive for marijuana while serving probation for shoplifting. The high court has sent the case back to the trial court to reconsider her probation violations. Second-degree murder charges have been filed for the driver of a truck who hit and killed a Pontiac family of four along I-75. Oakland County Prosecutor's Office filed the charges against 27-year-old Charles Pace from Virginia. Investigators say Pace was driving his Ford pickup truck more than 90 miles per hour and weaving in and out of traffic when he hit a car that was on the side of southbound I-75. last Wednesday. Pace's blood alcohol level was more than three times the legal limit. The crash left Zakaria Dotson, Tyree Powell, and their two children, three-year-old Nalani Powell and two-year-old Carter Powell, all dead. An investigation is underway after a single off-road vehicle crash that occurred Monday evening at Pontiac. 15-year-old Pontiac boy and a 16-year-old Pontiac boy were operating four-wheelers northbound on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard with the intention of turning east into Murphy Park. The 16-year-old successfully completed the turn, but the 15-year-old was unable to negotiate the turn. The ATV rolled over, ejecting him. Neither teen were wearing a helmet. 15-year-old was taken to McLaren Oakland Hospital in serious condition and is expected to be transferred to Children's Hospital. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson picking up the support of Pete Buttigieg in her run for governor. Michigan News Network's Kyle Kimball.
The 2020 presidential candidate and former U.S. Secretary of Transportation pointing to Benson's record in and vision for Michigan. Benson is running against Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson to win the Democrats' gubernatorial nomination in the primary on August 4th. With time winding down before that election, the endorsement comes as Benson is on a statewide costs down, wages up tour, hearing directly about affordability issues while outlining her plan to make Michigan more affordable for working families.
Kyle Kimball, the Michigan News Network.
The Hanover Road Bridge in Jackson County and the Town Line Highway Bridge in Lenawee County, both under construction this year, were completed and reopened to traffic recently as the Michigan Department of Transportation Bridge Bundling Program continues to support local agencies working to improve bridge conditions. The bridges were part of Phase 3 of this program to assist local agencies with replacements. The bridges were among five in a $9.8 million design bid build bridge bundle in MDOT's University and Southwest Regions. The Hanover Road Bridge, under construction since October of 2025, reopened in May. The Town Line Highway Bridge, under construction since November 2025, reopened at the end of June. Hanover Road Bridge over the South Branch of the Kalamazoo River in Pulaski Township have been closed to traffic since June of 2019 when an inspection found buckling in the steel beams of the 1938 structure. Charles Briner, JCDOT Director of Engineering, said that with it closed, emergency vehicles faced a nine-mile detour that added about 15 minutes to response times and that getting this bridge back open is a real benefit to the community. A Metro Detroit native and a Pulitzer Prize winner has written a book inspired by a crime in that area in the late 80s. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher has more.
Author Brian Gruley has based his novel River Deep in northern Michigan about a woman accused of drowning her twin infant sons, but it came from a case in Metro Detroit. A
guy named Blair Delisle drove his wife and his four young children into the Detroit River. The kids all died, and Delisle went through some hell. He's in prison on a life conviction.
Gruley, who won a Pulitzer Prize as part of a Wall Street Journal team for coverage of 9/11, has now written seven books. The Redford native kicks off a book tour Tuesday in Traverse City and will be in Metro Detroit next week. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
Already touching down in Michigan, the Freedom Plane National Tour gearing up for its display at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, making it the seventh of eight total stops on the historic tour. The display will include documents such as the original engraving of the Declaration of Independence. Former Michigan Governor Jim Blanchard and board member with the National Archives Foundation was on hand at Metro Airport during the arrival of the Freedom Plane.
Since the Archives was created by Franklin Roosevelt in the 30s, they've had some pretty professional preservationists handle these things, but some of them do get faded, yes. You know, I have some wonderful photos from my career, and then the autographs, like from Gerald Ford, are faded. So there's this special process, and it's better today than ever. So I think they've been able to halt any damage by time.
These documents will be available for everyone to see starting Thursday until Saturday, July 26th. It's Tuesday, and it's the seventh day of July, and today we celebrate Global
Forgiveness Day, National Father-Daughter Take a Walk Together Day, National Strawberry Sunday Day, National Macaroni Day, National Dive Bar Day. It's also Tell the Truth Day and World Chocolate Day. Wait, shouldn't every day be Tell the Truth Day? I mean, I'm just spitballing here. It was on this date in 1956, Johnny Cash made his Grand Ole Opry debut. It's on this date in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor became the first woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court. It was on this date in 2006, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest opened in theaters. It's also on this date in 2006 that Syd Barrett, founding member of Pink Floyd, died of complications from diabetes at the age of 60. On this date in 2011, the final Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, premiered in London. It's on this date in 2022, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced his resignation after mass resignations of his ministers. It's on this date in 2024, more than 3 million passengers recorded passing through U.S. airport security in one day for the first time ever. And it was on this date in 2025, James Gunn's Superman debuted in L.A. theaters. I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed the movie, and I haven't gone to see Supergirl yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Birthdays today include Sarah Pidgeon is 30, actress from Love Story, John F. Kennedy Jr., and Carolyn Bessette. Michelle Kwan, Olympic figure skater, is 46 today. Cree Summer, 57, actress from A Different World. Georgia Fox, 58, actress from CSI Crime Scene Investigation. Alan Payne from Tyler Perry's House of Pain is 58 today. Jim Gaffigan, 60 today. Roz Ryan from Amen is 75 today. And Shelley Duvall. She played Olive Oil. She was also in The Shining. She passed away in 2024. Other birthdays today include Allie Brooke from Fifth Harmony is 33 today. Cassidy is 44. Mally Mall, producer and rapper, 49 today. Vonda Shepard, you may remember her from Ally McBeal. She's also a singer and songwriter. Mark White from the Spin Doctors. He's a bassist. He's 64 today. Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr is 86 today. Got to pay your dues if you want to see the blues. And you know it don't come easy. You don't have to shout or leap about. You can't even play them easy. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast. Let's get to your sports here on AM Jackson, again, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot, and we are going to start off. I'll start off with soccer, as the USA has done. You know, we had a day where we're planning on spending a little more time on soccer, and boy, that egg was laid. And let's see, one story listed here. It was an embarrassing display for the U.S. men's national team last night as they ran off the field against Belgium 4-1 in the round of 16 in World Cup play. That's all one story. Now, Belgium took control early with two first-half goals from Charles de Ketelaere. And you know what? We're going to struggle with it. I'm just being honest with you. We are going to struggle with it. The U.S. tied the match briefly on a free kick by Malik Tillman, but Belgium answered less than 2 minutes later. Hans Vaneken added a third goal after a U.S. defensive mistake, and Romelu Lukaku scored in stoppage time to seal the win. Despite the return of Florin Billigan,
Belogan, there we go, after his suspension was, they said delayed here, and that's actually more accurate than some of the other stories I've read. I'll tell you why here in a second. After his suspension was delayed, the Americans were unable to keep pace. Belgium advances, and they're going to face Spain in the World Cup quarterfinals Friday in Los Angeles. So now Flo is under what we call a probation. His suspension, the whole red card thing, wasn't taken away. So he's under probation right now. And if he earns another red card within whatever time frame, I don't know off the top of my head what that probation stands for. With FIFA, it could be a year, it could be 4 years. Just kind of depends on whatever they feel like, I guess. But he gets another red card, then he will have to serve that game suspension and then the next game suspension for the red card just earned. So he's under probation now for a time frame. So it's possible that suspension could happen. I like and I appreciate how the game suspension was suspended for the World Cup. I like how all teams can be at full strength, and when we have the best facing the world every 4 years, we're able to have the teams at their fullest, at their best on the field facing each other. So, all right. So anyway, Belgium beat the USA. They're going to take on Spain. That's going to be July 10th as Spain shut out Portugal 1-0. Other quarterfinals are set too, as Norway had defeated Brazil and England took care of Mexico 2-1. 3-2 respectively. So Norway and England, they're going to be playing on the 11th at 9. Argentina will face Egypt today. That's going to be at noon. And Colombia will face Switzerland today at 4. And that will round up the round of 16 as we're waiting to see which teams will be facing each other in that quarterfinals. Previously decided, France took care of Paraguay 1-0. Morocco took care of Canada 3-0. They'll face each other coming up on the 9th. That'll be the first game in the quarterfinals. Semifinals are set for the 14th and 15th, and the FIFA World Cup final and consolation on the 19th at 3 and at 5. All right. Boy, that's kind of weird. They do the World Cup first at 3 o'clock, and then they do the third place second. So as people are leaving the stands because of the why don't they do the World Cup last? All right. Well, you know, soccer always seems to be weird. Whenever you put a sport on the international scene, it always ends up feeling a little weird. On to Major League Baseball yesterday, an MLB light schedule. Don't tell that to the Royals, as they just dominated the Phillies 15-1 for that final yesterday. Stankies got a win over the Rays 5-1. Natties beat the Astros 12-11. The New York Baseball Metropolitans over the Braves 7-6. Brewers topping the Cards 4-3. Diamondbacks shutting out the Padres 8-0. Giants getting a win over the Blue Jays 10-1, and the Dodgers getting an extra innings win. Is that their first extra innings of the season? They got an extra innings win over the Rockies 8-7 for that final from yesterday. Today, the Tigers get back at it as the Detroit Baseball Tigers, they take on the Athletics. The Athletics are 22-21 when they're on the road. The Tigers are 23-21 when they're home. The experts who put together the sports books, they say Detroit at -187. Who do we have on the mound today? Do we know? Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal will be facing JT Ginn. And the Tigers, the experts who put together sports books, they say Detroit at -187, and the matchup predictor is 62.7% in favor of the Detroit Baseball Tigers for today. Just a reminder, the Jackson County Senior Open is happening Saturday, July 11th. They are accepting registrations as we speak. Phil Fishmeister. I mean, he might not be up manning the phone at the moment, but I mean, if you call, he'll answer when he gets there. He'll take your registration today as they're doing that until 11 o'clock tonight. Course, Cascades. Entry fee, $75. An additional $15 per day for cart rental. It's 36 hole stroke play. They're going to have the championship division. That's the 50 to 59. They'll be off the white tees. They'll also have Division 2, Division 1 and Division 2. Division 1 is 60 to 69. 2 is 70 and older. Gold tees, red tees, respectively. The overall tournament champion is the winner of the championship division, and you can choose to play up in a younger division if you like, if you want to take on the competitors in the championship division. Tee times will be emailed and texted to the participants. Again, registration deadline today, 11 p.m. No refunds after the entry deadline. And the event is open to amateurs only. For additional information, you can contact Phil Fishmeister, 768-2916, pfishmeister@mijackson.com. You know, a simple Google search will get you to the proper Fishmeister spelling. Throwing that out there. And your humble host here failed you, because the all-star participants from the Detroit Baseball Tigers was announced over the weekend, and we missed it. We got so hung up on USA Soccer, we missed it. Riley Green is among the outfielders going, selected to his third consecutive all-star team, joining Hall of Famer Al Kaline as the only Tiger outfielders to achieve three straight nods. Dylan Dingler named to his first All-Star appearance, becoming the first Tiger catcher to receive the honor since Alex Avila in 2011. But I have not thought about Alex Avila since a long time ago. And Kevin McGonigal, the 21-year-old rookie, he has an All-Star nod. And he became the first Tiger rookie to make the team since Mark the Bird Fidrich in 1976. Wow, I haven't thought about Mark the Bird Fidrich in a long time either. All right, that's a look at your sports. It is.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
7:35, and it's a pleasure to have Stephanie Ricks back in the studio with us today as we're talking Cascades Humane Society. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wait, I pushed the wrong. That was ID10T here. That was my fault. Let's start this over again. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
So, well, you know, up until like a second ago, I was doing great. So.
That's okay. You know, it's early.
It is early. We appreciate you being here today, and there's a big event coming up for the Cascades Humane Society this weekend, right?
This weekend, this Saturday.
What can you tell us about it?
Blooms and Brews. Okay. You know, paws, petals, and pours, so right on our property there at 1515 Carmen Drive. So that's exciting.
We love alliteration here, too. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. gotta make it catchy.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. You get a $35 tasting ticket, and you can wander through our gardens and enjoy some vendors, all different keychains and jewelry, permanent jewelry makers.
Oh, cool.
All that fun stuff. We've got Songbird Blooms from downtown Jackson's Grand River Farmers Market. So Wendy from Songbird will be there with all her beautiful flower arrangements. Hollywood Feed will be there giving away free dog treats and showing you everything they have. Mm. And candles, henna, all different types of things. Live music by Steve and Brian Tucker and Phil Rosinski, which are all local favorites.
I have not seen Phil in like forever.
No.
Steve was just in here yesterday.
Oh, wasn't he?
But I haven't seen Phil. It's got to be like a decade plus.
Wow. Well, Phil does music in his backyard on a patio.
Okay.
And he puts it on Facebook, and it's kind of like a karaoke sort of thing. Or he'll sing and play guitar and take requests, and he's been playing since he was a teen. So, yeah.
I've seen that on Facebook. Does he still bring toys out and tell you how to play with them?
I have no idea. No, okay. I'm not sure.
Phil Rosinski of Toy House fame.
Exactly,
for our listeners, yeah, Toy House fame. So, all right, so this sounds like a lot of fun. And
it is a lot of fun. Last year was our first one.
Okay.
So this year, you know, we've done it before. We know the lay of the land, all that good stuff. We've got more and more people coming.
Yeah, kind of, you know, a little bit of a learning curve.
Exactly.
As there is with any new event.
Yep, it was brand new, but we really wanted to get people out to where we are because a lot of people don't make it out that way. So
it's right off the beaten path.
It is. You know, you take the Elm Street exit and just hang all right, you're right there. But who goes down Carmen Drive? You've got to have a reason to, unless you need asphalt, the postal service, or some pets, then you come down Carmen Drive.
Right. Okay. And it's, of course, stuff like this doesn't happen without great sponsorship support. And Omni's
absolutely
on board with you guys.
Omni is on board. Yes. They are our presenting sponsor of this event. And then we have some other great ones. Mm-hmm. Jackson Magazine, of course, is always there promoting us. So they're another sponsor. We can't do it without all of the community.
All right. 1515 Carmen Drive runs from 3 until 7.
Correct.
Do you need to be there at 3 or is it like
a come and go kind of thing? You know, you wander through at your leisure and it's obviously, you know, you can stay for 4 hours and just listen to music because from 3 to 5 is Steve and Brian and then from 5 to 7 is Phil.
Okay.
So you can grab some wine, sit down, bring your own camp chair if you want. We've got some chairs there. Bring a blanket. Listen to some good live music. Sip wine. We've got drafts also, and we have hard ciders. So you can sample all those. We've got some coming from Cherry Creek and Grand River.
Oh, nice.
Chateau Aeronautique is going to have some Meckley's. So, if there's certain ones you haven't tried and you want to give them a try, we're promoting them because, one, they support our community.
Sure.
And also, we want you to be able to just go get it and enjoy something else in our community. Well, so
I'm looking forward to the cherry bomb. I haven't had that in a long time either.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
Yeah.
So the $35, is that how many tastings does that get you?
That gets you 8.
Okay, 8 tastings. Yep. And you can get more on the spot if you want,
can get more on the spot if you want to. Absolutely.
Food vendor? You mentioned
food vendors,
that's right.
Yes, we've got Tiki Sam's. Mm-hmm. We have Happy Camper Cafe. You've probably met Beth Spreeman. She's down at the Grand River, or actually, no, the other farmer's market.
Okay.
At the old prison.
Yeah.
So
River and Rail Food Hub, yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. She's there with her little silver Airstream, and she's got some good eats there. Yes.
Okay, I've seen that. I've seen that there. Okay. Yep. As far as the vendors who are going to have their artistic fairs up there, how many of those are you going to have?
I think we have a couple dozen on board. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
They'll be, you know, all around the perimeter of our gardens over there. And we'll also, one of the highlights of the event is the blessing and the ribbon cutting of our new Rainbow Bridge.
That's right. I did see that on Facebook. That looks spectacular.
It is beautiful. Jones Construction did it. They did a wonderful job. The old bridge was over 20 years old. It was wood. It was dry rotted. It wasn't safe. So we thought, well, we got to redo this anyways. Let's look into something unique and cool. So this is a place the community can come and they can memorialize their lost pet.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like the putting a lock on the bridge thing, this is putting your animal collar on the bridge.
Oh,
so
they're
all over the U.S. It's nothing new. We didn't create this. But we thought it'd be a really awesome thing to have right here in the Jackson community.
Yeah, and the pictures just look
spectacular.
Pictures
are fantastic,
awesome.
And it is made from what's that called, like a Trek decking type of stuff. So it will stay vibrant and beautiful for a long time, low maintenance, we don't have to, you know, do anything to it.
Yeah.
If you want to put a lasting memorial on the bridge, we'll be doing like plaques and engraving on the bridge itself, but you can also snap your dog's collar on there that has its tag and have
that's
a place.
Cool.
Yeah, kind of neat.
It is a great way to do that. So, all right, so that's happening this weekend, July 11th, 3 to 7, 1515 Carmen Drive. Best way for people to get tickets?
You can go to our website, chspets.org, or find us on Facebook, and there's a event link with a live link that goes there. When you go to get your tickets, it's going to ask, you know, If you're coming to the event. You just click yes, and then the ticket price comes up.
Right. If people decide that day, what looks like the weather is going to be fabulous.
It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, yeah.
And if people decide that day that they want to come in, they can do that too.
They can just certainly do that.
They bring cash with them, or will they
still have to go? You can do cash, and then we'll have availability for card as well.
Okay.
Nice. Yep.
How are things at the Cascades Humane Society right now?
They're good. We're really full.
Capacity's full?
Capacity's full.
Okay.
You know, it's kitten season. So
I'm aware. Yeah.
Somehow they're coming out of the woodwork this
year. They're like gremlins. You get them wet and they just multiply.
I think so. That's it. Yeah, I think so. And some of them are gremlins. So they're having a good old time. And, you know, we've got the crossing, so we're able to put kittens over there. So that's been
fabulous. That going? We're there for the ribbon cutting. So how is that going now?
It's going fantastic. Yeah. We're seeing over 100 people a day walk through there.
Okay.
So, and that was part of the reason for it. It's not just to get animals adopted. It's to have conversations of, you know, spay and neuter, who we are, why, you know, we're a limited intake facility, how we're different, those types of things. So
direct engagement with the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good conversations on a regular basis. So that's awesome. And since the ribbon cutting, we've had a visiting room go up that was sponsored by M&K Jettings. So that looks amazing. Our new Rain Tree Cat condos are in there. So a little bit more capacity to put animals in.
Okay.
They've got the glass fronts on them. They look amazing.
Cool.
So, yeah, again, sponsored by M&K Jettings.
So yeah.
Mark is a really big supporter of ours, and we really appreciate it because it takes a village.
Yeah.
It takes a village. Animals are not cheap. So
have adoption numbers kind of increased then because
they yes.
Good.
Yeah. Adoption numbers have increased, which is good because, you know, we have a plethora of cats and kittens right now. We have lots of dogs too. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it's getting more foot traffic, getting more eyes on these wonderful animals.
You know, it's probably a little more impulse buy-ish, I would say, when they're there. But you still do the proper vetting.
Oh,
if somebody's
absolutely.
At the mall and they didn't go to the mall intending to adopt a cat, but they see that you're there.
Right.
It happens, but you still do the proper vetting.
We absolutely do, yeah. We check. We have to call, you know, if you're in an apartment, we call the landlord. If you're in a house that you don't own, we contact the landlord and make sure that it's allowed. If it's a dog adoption, you have to do a meet and greet if you already have a dog at home. We make sure that you have vet records and things if you already have a dog. And so we go the extra mile. We want to make sure it's a good fit. You don't want to put a cattle dog with a family or a person that can't, you know, have space for it or handle all its energy.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man. Those are huskies.
Yes,
wow,
lots
huskies
of energy there. Well,
right.
And they like to run. They want to get out.
They're escape artists.
They are escape
artists.
If you'll watch Facebook and any of these posts, even with our wonderful Jackson County Animal Shelter, you'll see huskies are in there often.
Yes.
So some of them are repeat offenders.
They are frequent flyers.
Yes.
That's what I call them. So, all right. And you usually have a dog.
We've learned now that certain dogs, of course, and we knew this, can go over to the crossing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if we have puppies, we put them in like a playpen and people can come in and visit the puppies. But it's a lot of cats. We've had ferrets go through there. We've had guinea pigs go through there. We've had two bunnies get adopted from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're ones that they don't get a lot of eyeballs on them at, you know, Carmen Drive, but are luckily for social media, they get lots of views.
Yeah.
But at the crossing, you know, you get that, all that traffic.
For sure.
Yeah. All Jackson Crossing's a hopping place.
That's good. And that's right there. That's in the Target wing.
That is in the Target wing. You come in that door over there by Jackson 10 and we're immediately to your left and right before you get to Walt's Health Food Store.
And I know the vendors, because we saw it during the ribbon cutting. The rest of the vendors there, those who have businesses there, they absolutely have to love having you guys
Oh,
there.
They do.
And they're coming in on breaks and everything.
The nail place is over they're checking out the animals in the window if we're not open yet. If we're open, they're inside playing with the kittens. And it's been fun.
That's cool.
And we have another cool thing over there is I've been framed as they are generously, we had a really big blank empty wall. It's a large space, so giant rectangle. And Amy and her crew over there said, hey, we'll curate that wall for you, because I was like looking for stuff to put on it. And everything on that wall, 20% goes to the animals.
They do a fabulous job.
They do, yes.
She loves animals, too.
She does love animals.
She did a great portrait. We had a rescued a King Charles Cavalier.
Oh.
Passed away because I had a heart murmur. It was an Amish rescue.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Amish are horrible with dogs. And when she passed away, they did a fabulous picture of her that's still hanging up. Fabulous. And every time I talk to her, I always bring it up because we're just so impressed how she was able to memorialize Lulu for us. So,
Lulu,
she did a great job.
Yeah, that whole wall, every kind of animal you can imagine. There's rabbits on the wall, and they're kind of they're very artistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not just like a picture.
Not just a picture, right?
Right, and they're very artistic, and we've been selling lots of those off the wall, and so you're looking for artwork. We had a gentleman come in; he needed stuff for his office. He bought four of them. So it's very cool. Yeah.
Any animals, dogs, cats, whatever, right now that have just been there too long, and you're kind of baffled as to why they haven't found their home yet.
Oh, the baffled ones. Yeah, there are a couple of them like that over there. We have Jerry, who is an American bully. He's just, he looks like he's going to fight you, but he's the biggest baby. He's the biggest baby, but he's built like a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
And black, just loving. All he wants to do is kiss you. So, and then, of course, Layla 2.0. She's been on our Facebook page. Okay. She has epilepsy.
Okay.
But it's very easily managed. I mean, we give her meds each day, and they're not that expensive. You can get them pretty much anywhere. And but she is a lover. She just wants to play. And one of our contractors that's over there right now building our x-ray room, that's another cool thing going on, he says she catches air because if he's in a kennel, you don't see her on the backside, but then you'll see a head. And then you'll see a head. And she literally can jump.
Image it, yeah.
Yes, she can jump straight up. She looks like a jack in the box. So, Layla is amazing.
Yeah.
But she just needs somebody that doesn't mind giving her meds every day.
Yeah.
And
just a little extra love.
Yep.
That's
just
all.
A little extra love. So she is, she's been there over 200 days.
And it's something that becomes a routine, just like feeding him.
You know, absolutely.
It's part of the routine. You don't think anything of it. She just needs a little extra care.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, some people think it's expensive. It's not that expensive. We had a diabetic cat, and Chris Kringle got adopted, and his meds are like $35 a month, and he got a wonderful home. So, you know, we get these special cases that come to us, and they're like, you know, my kitty's doing this, and that we diagnosed it. And then now Chris has a home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the x-ray room. You got another thing going? Tell us
about
what's going on there.
We always have stuff going. Yeah,
well,
it's been crazy. They started this wonderful project before I came on board, and we needed to finish raising the funds. So got all the funds, and we are putting in an x-ray room.
Okay.
So it is not an addition. It's a remodel. So it's a... We had a room, it's a supply room right off of the surgery suite, and perfect. So closed up a couple doors, they're lead lining it. The machine is to arrive today, actually.
Wow.
So that's really cool.
Okay.
So, and that helps because we get animals in there that you can't fully diagnose them without all of the information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes longer to diagnose or you have to transport them somewhere. So having one on site is going to be huge for the animals in our care, and quicker diagnoses, less expensive treatments because you're not just wondering.
Right.
We work with Baker College a lot and help educate their students. So we do transport animals over there when they're in school, and they'll do x-rays and those types of things for us. So, but this will be a game changer.
Yeah, that's making trips over to Baker College. That's something to see with how busy and how well organized and how passionate they are. I mean, those students there are fabulous to work with.
They are. And we have Baker College students. So our vet tech, Krista Collins, is a Baker College graduate from last May's class.
Yeah.
And she's just fabulous at her job. So, and then we have several that come through. They learn that they love animals and they go to school, and then, you know, we lose them, but that's okay. They got their start with us. But yeah, Baker's amazing.
Yeah, cool. All right. So again, let's kind of wrap up
where
we started. And let's talk about Blooms and Brews again for those who might have kind of joined us halfway through.
Right.
What do they need to know? Give us the elevator speech.
They need to know. July 11th, 3 to 7 p.m. over on our grounds at 1515 Carmen Drive. Make sure you're going to Carmen Drive. And it'll be outdoors in a nice fenced-in, beautiful garden area. $35 for a tasting ticket. Get you 8 tastings of any type of beverage that we have there. We've got, we'll have wines, we'll have hard ciders, we'll have drafts. So that'll be fun. Food by Tiki Sam's, food by Happy Camper Cafe, music by Stephen Brian Tucker and Phil Rosinski. Get your tickets at chspets.org or go to our Facebook page, see Cascades Humane Society Jackson, because there are two of them. The one that we use ends in Jackson.
Okay. And all proceeds go to really support your cause. I mean, this is your bread and butter.
This is operations. This is what buys dog food, buys cat food, buys vet supplies, pays our staff to be there and take care of them, pays the light bill. This is what we do and how we do it. Right. We don't get tax dollars. We do it all through donors, grants, and fundraising.
All right. And if anybody wants to help out, this is like the first time we didn't touch on volunteers or anything like that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so always need volunteers.
Volunteers, so fosters, all that stuff if they want.
All of that stuff. Yeah, we recently had a mama dog come in and gave birth to a puppy. Just a puppy.
Okay.
And
it happens.
It had to go. She had to go to a foster. So mama, those types of things. Mm-hmm. We actually were looking for one on Facebook and a couple came because all of our fosters are full.
Yeah.
So they're full with bottle baby kittens and those types of things. Cool. So
very good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, Stephanie, good seeing you again.
Good
Thanks
to see you.
Here.
Yes. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Whenever you have something coming up, you know where to go. Just give
Absolutely.
Me a call. Okay.
Give you a call. Yeah.
Stephanie Riggs from the Cascades Humane Society here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Welcome back to the program, Representative Sarah Leitner. Representative, good morning. Welcome back.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, I see then you survived your 4th. Did you have a good holiday weekend?
Survived the 4th.
Yeah.
Cut it a little short because, you know, work responsibilities got in the way of play on Friday. So.
Yeah. Well, we talked with...
I needed the afternoon to recover.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we talked with Senator Sue Schenck on Monday, and she kind of gave us like the inside look when you have those late kind of nights. And you guys worked through the night. You were done early Friday morning, but you worked through the night, right? So So what's that like on the House side when you do that? Are you guys bringing in, you know, takeout and just kind of hanging out during breaks? I mean, what do you do? Are you pretty much active that entire time while you have bills coming in and off the floor? How's that? What's that? Those long nights, those all nighters look like?
Well, it's a little bit of craziness, and you know, this was my 8th year doing it, so I've learned that on budget week we should bring extra hearty snacks. So I purchased stuff to make a charcuterie board for later in the evening, both Wednesday and Thursday. With, you know, homegrown beef from Sanford Family Beef. So we had the meat sticks, we had the cheese, we had fruit, we had the crackers, made it look all patriotic, and then it was a mess. And when it was time to refill it, I just throw things on there because I don't have the patience. Like my staffer, Angela, she does a great job of making things look patriotic and pretty. Like she cut the cheese into stars.
Oh, wow.
Like that. I do bring extra snacks to share, and yes, I share with both sides of the aisle. I don't mind because we all need sustenance.
Right.
I find that when you feed people, they are nicer to you.
Well, yeah, it's easier to compromise on things when one side's not hangry.
Yes, yeah. I'm telling you.
Well,
good decisions are usually over meals,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or at least good hearty snacks.
Now, before we dive into this any deeper, as an adult now who loves charcuterie boards, I still find it funny that as kids we call them Lunchables, but as adults we call them charcuterie boards.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, hey, we have the fancy meat, though. We have the stuff that wasn't full of preservatives.
Right. That's right. You did have the good stuff. You brought the good stuff. So, all right.
Yeah.
So,
in between, you know, we did go at ease a couple of different times, and so you'd get like an hour and a half or so, and you could go get a meal or whatever. But I honestly didn't think we were going to go till 9 a.m.
Okay.
So I had a nice hearty lunch and then just a light, I didn't really eat dinner. I just had the charcuterie and some meat snacks and a protein shake because I just don't like to eat super late at night, yeah. And I'm not. My system doesn't do well with pizza, so unless it's got like white sauce or a pesto sauce or just oil.
Ew.
So. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll still eat it. And for our listening audience, we'll get down to business here momentarily, I promise you. But I've come to the belief that pizza, unless it has pineapple on it, that's wrong. But pizza, even when it's bad, it's still kind of good. So, except for pineapple pizza. So even with the white sauce, I might go, I'll still eat it because it's pizza.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, it's lots of craziness. Right. You know, sometimes people taking a nap at their desk or under their desk. And, you know, because there was negotiated bills that were happening throughout the day, we'd have to sometimes wait for the Senate to do their votes and kick them over. And they physically bring them over. The clerk brings them over. And so whenever she would come down the aisle from the Senate, people would, like, cheer. They'd be like, yay, we're actually going to do something for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just as the bill was getting written, because, you know, there was a framework deal and then they had to hammer out the details, and that didn't happen until about 6 p.m. on Thursday. And then finishing writing, you know, a 1,300-page bill took some time. So we didn't ultimately vote on the bill until almost 9 o'clock.
Okay. So was the budget then for the state set and done? I mean, did the governor get it to her desk and sign it? We're set. We're done with the budget?
She didn't sign it yet, but yes, we didn't. The budget was negotiated, super bipartisan in the House. I think it got 99 votes out of 110 in the affirmative. So two Democrats voted against it, and I think five Republicans.
Okay.
We had by almost 9 a.m. We had a member who wasn't there, two members that weren't there already, and then we lost another member. So we only had 107 when it came down to it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Are you happy with how it landed?
I am. I mean, we were able to cut the budget again. You know, we're asking everybody else to tighten their belts, and like I said before, government should do the same. And so last year's budget was a little over $76 billion, and this year was $75.1 billion.
Okay.
So we were able to, you know, still prioritize education, continue the additional $2 billion for roads, in addition to what was already appropriated before, but, you know, from last year's plan. Public safety still a priority. You know, obviously, some of the port projects that they call them, or the LDSIs, the legislative directed spending issues, that got cut. And so basically, right. $120 million got split between all the chambers. And so essentially, each caucus got about $40 million in projects for their members. And, you know, some of our members got some stuff and some didn't.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just how it ended at the end of the day.
What got taken out of the budget? I mean, what's the sacrifice? What was the compromise that you're like, oh man, I really wish that was still in there?
Honestly, I can't think of anything that I really had major heartburn over, because, you know, realistically, we still invested in our schools, right?
Yeah.
We upped the Edge Foundation allowance, so it's $10,300 per pupil. You know, made investments in, you know, obviously retirement, all of that nature. We still funded public safety. We still funded mental health and public safety in schools, you know, at a record amount. Universal lunch and breakfast, you know, that fills in there, because that's important to feed our kids. Like I said earlier, you know, you don't want, it's hard to learn, it's hard to conduct work when you're hungry, right?
Right. So, yeah, well, the charcuterie board.
We did continue that. You know, we didn't take any money out of the rainy day fund. We also didn't increase fees in the budget this year. You know, so I consider that a big win. We also were able to eliminate some more ghost employees.
Right.
You know, and that's the things that we talked about before, where they have these FTEs that are appropriated, that have money appropriated, but never were filled. And they were just kind of using them for slush funds within their department. So
right.
we were able to eliminate some more of those. But, you know, I don't think we had to make a ton of sacrifices in the budget.
Okay.
We actually went to a real dollar spent. So when you look at what they actually spent in last year's budget, we kind of used that as their baseline number for the department. And just doing actual spend, we were able to cut $2 billion from the budget,
nice.
Right from the get-go.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right.
So, I think it's a good budget.
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody
has something, I'm sure,
yeah.
when you get into the nitty-gritty. Like I said, it's 1,300 pages, and I haven't been through all 1,300 pages yet.
Well, no. You go through the cliff notes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You depend like we've talked about before. You depend on staff and those who are kind of leading in other areas and other committees to kind of give you the nitty gritty of it. And you go on that,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
So you know that's what we did. They did it. I think our approach here did an amazing job. You know, our speaker mm-hmm. obviously worked some good deals, and you know. In part of the budget negotiations, some policies finally did get passed. You know, I had a bill that got passed and that's going to be signed by the governor in regards to juvenile justice data sharing.
Okay.
It's kind of silly. We hired these people, researchers, to tell us what's going on in our justice system and to analyze the data so we can make good policy decisions. Mm-hmm. But yet, we fight them on giving them the data. And so we actually had to write it in statute that said, yes, you can give, you know, for instance, for example, Wayne State, the information that they need to process information in regards to residential treatment with juveniles.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So that did get passed. So hopefully we can make headway there and, you know, make some more changes to our juvenile justice arena.
Okay.
Because there still needs to be work done, especially in the mental health and juvenile justice. It's a collaborative, right? And, you know, it's sad that we're having to send kids out of state. We shouldn't have to do that.
And you're kind of leading into some of the other things we want to talk about here. Yeah, we talked about the budget, but there was also a flurry of bills that kind of went through from, like you mentioned earlier, from the Senate to the House. The House sent stuff over to the Senate. Among all those bills that got passed, you know, while we're also doing the budget thing, are there any of those bills that got passed that kind of stand out for you that were like, hey, yeah, we did some good work here last week?
Well, like I said, the juvenile justice
right,
bill.
Yeah.
I actually had another juvenile justice bill with Sue Schenck. It was a double blueback, and it was something that I had worked on in the prior term, and it was actually a package of 20 bills that I gave as part of a conversation I've had with the governor, and all the other bills got signed into law last term except for the one. And at the end of the day, Sue Schenck ended up with that bill, but it's in regards to also juvenile justice. It's indigent defense for juveniles. So bringing parity to the system to the adult system with juveniles as well.
Right.
So
okay.
Yes, it is more, it seems like more money. And it is on the front end, but my hope is, and what data tells us, is that in the long run, it will actually save our state money in the long run.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Other one is the lobbying law. We did pass the lobbying law that says, basically, you're going to have a cooling off period now, so you can't go right from being a legislator to a lobbyist, because, you know, the term before, you know, we had a rep who actually resigned from office so he could be a lobbyist right away. And, you know, that was an injustice, I think, for that district, unfortunately, because they went without representation the last, you know, 2 months or whatever. But it also, part of that law also says you can't also be a out-of-state lobbyist, because we did have one of those a couple terms ago where she was a sitting state rep but was a registered lobbyist in another state. And would spend her other days lobbying in that other state. But she's like, well, I'm not one here, so it's fine.
Right.
And that, it's just not.
Okay.
That's just, ethically, I just think it's not right.
Let me ask you a question here. Because we talk about lobbyists. I mean, that kind of conversation comes in and out when we are talking about political things. But, and we know lobbyists, they champion their causes with legislatures.
Right.
But what does that conversation look like? When you have interactions with lobbyists, what does that really mean? What is it they're really doing there in Lansing?
Well, it depends. I mean, obviously you have association lobbyists mm-hmm. and you have multi-client lobbyists, right? And all they are is advocates for their causes. It's not like they pay you to vote a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the time I started in Lansing, I made it very clear that I don't care what they give me or what steak dinner they buy me. I will stick by my principles.
Mm-hmm.
I will give them my time. And I'll hear them out. I mean, I do it all the time, especially as the judiciary chair. I mean, there's issues I fundamentally believe in and punishments I fundamentally believe in. And I disagree with, you know, the other side.
Yeah.
I'll still hear them out. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to get time with legislators to say, hey, okay, I get it, but is there any room for... Is there any wiggle room?
So
is there some spot we can come to a consensus and agree on and make a policy better?
Do lobbyists, like, schedule office appointments with you? Do they track you down, chase you down in the hallway? Do they just kind of sit out the door during session? Are they taking you out to dinner? I mean, how do lobbyists get in front? What's that?
There's a little bit of all of it.
Okay.
You know, for instance, there were bills that got put up that weren't expected, and so yes, lobbyists on the last couple of days are on the tiles, and they're like, they'll send a note in and say, hey, can I talk to you for just a minute, you know, or they'll call you or they'll text you, but generally yes, they make office appointments and they come into my office. You know, I schedule time obviously for that, to hear out all the different issues.
Okay.
And yes, you do dinners. I mean, you can look on the financial disclosure and see that I've done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I have to remind people, too, is, you know, because they're like, oh, they're buying your vote. And I'm like, okay, say we talk about an issue that's important to you, right? And if I take you out to a steak dinner, is that going to change your mind on how you feel about fishing, let's just say?
Okay.
Probably not. So I'm like, what makes you think that would change my mind? Like, I'm sorry, but I raise my own meat, so number one, I get the best steaks at home. I mean, yes, we have a lot of good restaurants.
Yeah.
I still end up preferring at the end of the day doing stuff at home because I'm really good at it.
Right.
Not to toot my own horn, but I'm just saying.
Have your conversations with lobbyists, how many times has it been where they've given you a different angle or a different way of thinking about things and had you kind of reconsider your vote?
There is a lot of that.
Okay.
And quite frankly, some of the best lobbyists are up front with you from the beginning and play devil's advocate. So they're like, okay, you know, this is what we would like to see. This is what you're also probably going to hear on the other side. You know, this, this, and this. And so it helps you explore all angles.
Okay.
I don't want to say it changes your mind. It just helps. They help. I mean, their job is to educate you, to help educate you on whatever issue they're hired to
right.
advocate for.
No, I mean, yes,
are there bad ones? Yeah, but are there bad reps? Yeah, well, there's always bad actors in every profession.
Yeah, exactly. There's good and bad no matter what profession you're looking at. But
there's probably really bad DJ hosts. Radio host too.
There's certainly none here on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 up, and there hasn't been for a long, long time here. But
I just like
talking about procedure and how things, you know, just the different things that kind of come into making the decisions. You know, how the sauce is made for your steak. You know, I love hearing about that kind of stuff. And I don't think we've ever really talked about, I've never talked about anyway, what happens on that side of things, at least how it works for our representatives when they're communicating with lobbyists. I find it interesting. So,
there's a lobbyist mm-hmm. for everything. I mean, mm-hmm. funeral directors, for goodness sakes, have a lobbyist.
Right.
So it's
it's every profession, anything you can think of, there's likely a lobbyist for it.
Sure, sure. So we're going to be in break now for a while, right? Well, I say break, but it doesn't mean you're not working. We're just not in session. So what happens this part of the year between now and August 11th?
Well, this week, a lot of people are taking just a break this week because it's been, you know.
Crazy.
We've been at it. And then, you know, you have to think about it. Last summer, we didn't even really get a break because, obviously, the budget was way behind. We didn't get that done till October.
Yeah.
So thank God. But, like, for me this week, it's like doctor's appointments, catch up. I have a nasty, nasty bout of poison ivy right now. So I was able to get into the doctor yesterday, finally, and get a shot and get my steroids. And because nothing I've put on it has worked. And it's like on my chin, my neck, my belly, my arms, my legs.
Wow.
It's just a bad.
That stinks. I'm sorry. Yeah, poison ivy's not fun. So, all right. And yeah, so then the rest of the summer, those who are facing elections, like most representatives are, there'll be a lot of campaigning. So there'll be that's happening too. But is there opportunities for session to be called back in, or do you just feel like you're going to be done until August 11th at this point?
So we do have a tentative date in July 15th, but I don't think we're actually going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, our week back is the fair week, is Jackson County Fair Week. So I'm like, oh, crap, I'm on the fair board too. And, you know, we like to work fair week.
Yeah.
And, you know, my staff, we're in district, we're on grounds. We generally drive the hospitality carts.
Okay.
You know, the shuttles. So, of course, I love it because I see 50 million people that week, and I can just talk to everybody then, and they get their own little couple minutes of Sarah time if they want. Some don't. They're just like, whatever, I don't care. Don't talk to me.
Well, sounds like the fair board needs a lobbyist so we can get that changed.
Well, you do know that the Michigan Association of Fairs does have a lobbyist.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And there's
they do
fair weeks are different all across the state. Yeah. So yeah, all right.
They are, but they're planned, you know, 5 years in advance, so you know the dates ahead of time. But
okay,
it is what it is. It's like school, you know. They talk about not starting school before Labor Day because you know so and so has a fair, and of course Hillsdale is always the last fair of the year, and you know we're back to school generally. So
yeah, well.
Kind of have to take a week off fair if they're showing animals.
Well, you know, that's just, I'm sorry, this can't go back to school till after labor. And I'm glad we're kind of past that now because that was just dumb. Every sport on the planet has kids back in school before school even starts anyway. So that was useless. Anyway, hey, I'm out of time. Anything left untouched that we should talk about before I let you go?
That's it. We'll touch base periodically in the next couple of weeks. So
looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Well, you know, between now and then, enjoy your summer and look forward to talking with you here maybe a couple weeks or so, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks. Representative Sarah Leitner joining us here on AM Jackson. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.